Welcome back to The Brittany Show, everybody. Really crappy news for anybody that likes to run their own life. The Biden administration, which is always getting their hands all up in everything that it has absolutely no right, natural or constitutional, to get their hands up in, has once again decided to insert themselves into your life against your will. They are now mulling over a proposal to heavily regulate or even outright ban gas stoves. Now, of course, this has been kind of hot topic for this week because naturally, a whole lot of people are absolutely outraged at this proposal, and they should be. After all, almost half of all American homes, including my own, use gas stoves and actually quite like gas stoves. I much prefer my gas stove to an electric one. I find it to be much better for even cooking. It works better for me. I like it. And quite frankly, I really don't care if you do or if you don't. It's perfectly fine. Maybe you prefer electric. Maybe you like to cook over an open fire in your backyard. I don't really care. As far as I'm concerned, that's between you and your HOA. Nobody has the right to tell you what you can and cannot cook with, what you can and cannot use in your own home. But of course, in the supposedly free United States of America, that's no longer the case. The government has decided that they have the right to tell us what we can and cannot cook with, what we can and cannot own. And now we all must bow to their regulations or risk facing the consequences. So, naturally, this proposal has been met with a whole lot of enthusiasm by certain people who claim that gas stoves should be either heavily regulated or, in most cases, claim should be outright banned because they supposedly cause health problems.
Yeah, it's, you know, the science is showing us that having a gas stove in a small apartment, especially with bad ventilation, it's like having a car idling there.
All of a sudden, every single leftist on Twitter is an expert on gas stoves, which is funny because nobody was even talking about it like 2 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, gas stoves are like the big bad boogeyman because in the ever-moving target of climate change and saving the planet and, you know, the baby seals and all of that at the expense of the actual people living on it. For this ever-moving target, of course, there's always a new boogeyman. It's never good enough. There's always something else that's causing us to all keel over and die that must be banned and the government must save us from ourselves. So 2 weeks ago, nobody gave a thought to gas stoves. Now, all of a sudden, they're like the worst thing ever. And if you have one, you should probably rush to throw it away like yesterday, or else you're more than likely going to like hemorrhage and die. Is sort of the hyperbole that we have seen here. Turns out, actually, that while studies have shown that gas stoves can be harmful for people who have asthma, it's not really much of a health risk to the vast majority of people, particularly if you use them correctly. You can use just about anything incorrectly and have it be a health hazard. Cars are a great example of that. Gas stoves, there's a really simple way to keep methane and carbon monoxide and all the other stuff from getting into your home. Flip on the fan. Every single one of these things comes with a ventilator. Make sure that it's working properly. If your fan stops working, call somebody to come in and fix it, and then use the dumb fan. That's how you make sure you're using a gas stove properly. But of course, all of the climate town criers who really, that's what this is all about, right? This has absolutely nothing to do with protecting your personal health. Nobody gives a crap about your personal health. This is all about government control, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes and how we know that for a fact. But again, that's kind of the mantra that all of these people are hiding behind, that it puts off all this methane and all of this carbon monoxide and all of this stuff. And frankly, if you use a gas stove and you haven't keeled over, that's a miracle. How in the world almost half the country uses these things and we're not having all these crazy adverse health problems? I don't understand. Because to hear the left talk, we should all be dead by now. AOC, of course, supported the proposal for a gas stove ban. Turns out, however, that as much as she posts on social media that gas stoves can cause cognitive problems and all of that, which actually, to be honest, I'm apt to believe her, if only because of the fact that it turns out she actually uses a gas stove herself. It's in the backdrop of a lot of the social media videos that she's constantly posting to prolong her 15 minutes of fame as the resident socialist nut job there in Congress. I'm actually apt to believe that it causes cognitive problems, considering the fact that in her little apartment there in DC, she happens to have a gas stove. Of course, the fact that that's not something that's commonly shared by all of the rest of us who use gas stoves, I'm much more likely to attribute her complete lack of know-how and just total dearth of common sense to the fact that she attended a left-wing university that is much more interested in promoting liberal think speak than it is about actually prompting people to learn how to critically think for themselves. You just sort of parrot the line. So that's where I think AOC's cognitive decline comes into play. I don't think it has anything at all to do with the fact that she uses a gas stove. But of course, a lot of people naturally were coming out and mocking her for it. After all, if you are going to claim that gas stoves should be banned because they are such an incredible health hazard to people, right? And we all know that's not what this is actually about. But if that's the smokescreen you're going to hide behind, if you're truly concerned that this is a health hazard, why would you be using one in your own home? If you actually believe that you are on the regular breathing all of this crap that is causing people to have brain function problems or even lead to cancer and to death, if you actually believed this, there is no way that you would ever be in a home with a gas stove. And yet, there's AOC, home with a gas stove, right there, cooks on it all the time, has videos of her cooking on this thing. And of course, she immediately came out because, right, she can't possibly admit that she might be wrong about something. She might not ever be able to say, oh, you know, you guys actually have a good point. So she has to come out and find some way, however ridiculous, to defend her use of a gas stove that's good enough for her, but not good enough for everybody else. Here's that video.
I do think it's funny that like absolute utter Republican meltdown where they're like, you can take my gas stove or my cold dead hands, or how dare you talk about gas stoves? You have a gas stove. First of all, I rent, period. Second of all, though, it doesn't even matter because by that logic, these are the same people who would have said we should have never gotten rid of leaded gasoline. Just because someone may have driven a gasoline car. Science evolves and gives us new knowledge with time.
Okay. So let's try to unspool this tangled ball of stupid yarn here. All right. First of all, who cares if you rent? Like, literally, who cares if you rent? Who cares if the fact that you rent this apartment with the evil, deadly gas stove in it, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? It doesn't matter if you rent. As a matter of fact, if you actually believed that this gas stove was such a hazard to your health, you would be going to your landlord and saying, hey, can we change this thing out for an electric stove? I mean, you make $174,000 a year. Offer to replace it, or at least to front some of the cash. If you were that concerned about your health, if you really thought that this was a problem that your landlord probably doesn't even know about, don't you think you'd be making some effort to change that? But there you are cooking away on your gas stove and saying that the fact that you rent this apartment somehow changes something. As if, I don't know, do rented gas stoves put off less methane and carbon monoxide than owned gas stoves? Is it like a 50% ratio here? Is that how that works? Who cares if you rent? That literally has nothing at all to do with what we're talking about. Also, the fact that she compares this to leaded gas, she must have Googled that or something because, and I recall this from way back in the day. I wanted to make sure that I was correct. Turns out I actually was. By the time the U.S. began to phase out leaded gas in cars, the vast majority of cars that were currently on the market, unless you had like an old jalopy, the vast majority of cars that were being manufactured at that time could also run on unleaded gas. So while leaded gas was being phased out, it didn't mean that everybody that had a car at the time had to rush out and buy a new one to use the new gasoline. The cars that they had, by and large, already could run off of leaded gasoline, and in many cases could run better off of unleaded gasoline. So this is a lot more than just somebody drove a gasoline car. This is a lot more than just somebody may have been inconvenienced. 40% of U.S. households currently use gas stoves. And it's not like a car that could run on leaded gasoline, but could also run on unleaded gasoline. You can't just hook an electric stove up to the same plug that you've got a gas stove in and have it do the same thing. These are not easily interchangeable things. Now, you can, of course, swap out your gas stove for an electric one. Usually when people do this, it's as part of a renovation, or it's because their gas stove has already broken. Because again, this isn't just easy swapsies. You have to go rent, you know, you have to go pay an electrician to swap out your gas stove for an electric stove. There are things on the back end there that have to be changed. You don't just go plug it into the same stuff. And this can run people several hundred dollars, which I guess might be news to AOC sitting there making, you know, six figures off of the taxpayers. But not every American just has hundreds of dollars sitting around to pay an electrician to come swap an appliance that is perfectly usable just because the government tells them to do it. And even if you passed something, even if you banned gas stoves and you grandfathered in all of the current stoves that are in use, that means that if somebody's gas stove breaks and they don't have money to go pay an electrician to do all of this swapping, there's no way that they could just go get another gas stove. They have to do all of this work on the back end because all of the new stoves have been banned. And it creates this gigantic problem for people that, of course, the government is not concerned with. All the government and all of these unelected bureaucrats, all they are concerned with is their own power and their own control. And that leads to the most fundamental problem of all. This really has nothing to do with AOC or where she rents or what people choose to cook on in their own homes. The fundamental problem here is the government deciding once again that it knows best what people should and should not do, what they should and should not use, and what they can and cannot own. And unelected bureaucrats end up making rules and regulations about what people can and cannot do. And it ends up being the law of unintended consequences in many cases. We just saw this with COVID, right? And don't tell me that they didn't know exactly what they were doing. I do believe that there were plenty of people that knew exactly what they were doing and knew exactly where we would end up, and the whole entire thing was intended from the start. But there were a whole lot of people that sort of got caught up, right? Especially your average Americans. We saw this with COVID. We saw what happens when the government decides that it knows best at the advice of experts that we're supposedly not allowed to question. We're not allowed to do our own research. We're not allowed to do our own Googling. We have to listen to the experts. We have to trust the government to know what's best for us. And we saw this happen where the government decided that it knew best how to protect public health, how to protect people from themselves. We have to mandate that they lock down. We have to make sure that they don't go to certain places, even if they want to take that risk for themselves. We have to force compliance. And not only was it anti-freedom, not only did it infringe on the human rights of millions and millions of people, but it decimated our education system. It completely upended our healthcare system. It gunked up the supply chain, completely bungled the economy. We are still recovering and will be on the road to recovery from COVID shutdowns, not COVID itself, but COVID shutdowns for the foreseeable future. And there are children in this country that will never recover from the effects that that had on them in their childhood. We see what happens when the government inserts itself under the auspices of public health because they've decided that they know best for you. You cannot be entrusted with your own healthcare decisions. And we know that this is all a power play, by the way, because believe it or not, electric stoves put off plenty of emissions themselves. This is not some giant planet-saving, public health-saving, lung and brain-saving move here, all right? So first of all, electric stoves, obviously, right there in the name, they run off of electricity. Where does electricity come from? It's not the magical wall fairy. There's nothing special about the drywall in your house that just automatically generates electricity. It has to come from somewhere, right? It has to come from somewhere. And this is something that the EV crowd doesn't like to talk about whenever they plug in their Tesla or their hybrid or whatever. Just because you can't see where the electricity is coming from doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that it's out of sight, out of mind, and you can feel super green about it. Electricity, by and large in this country, comes from coal and natural gas. A very, very small percentage of it relatively comes from sustainable, renewable resources. Hydroelectric, solar, wind turbines, all of that stuff generates a very small percentage of the electricity in this country. So even electric stoves, even if you're not putting off, you know, emissions into your home, which again, with proper ventilation, aren't even a problem. The idea that you're saving the planet by switching to an electric stove isn't a thing. You're just keeping the problem over there so you can't see it, right? Gas stoves also, by the way, make up only about 3% of all household natural gas use, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. And by the way, any kind of indoor cooking whatsoever puts off fine particles into the air that you're breathing. Again, this is why ventilation is such an issue. Turn on the dumb fan. It's really not that big of a deal. But any kind of indoor cooking is going to put this stuff off. Electric stoves are not some magical solution to this issue. And anybody doing a basic modicum amount of research can see that. And yet again, that is the smokescreen that the government is hiding behind. And we can see that the whole entire thing is contrived bullcrap. As we've seen before, protecting public health is almost always a smokescreen for exerting power and control over people and over the private sector. There was one top U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission official who gave away this whole entire game when he made a statement during a viral or during a virtual news conference on the subject of gas stoves, where he floated the idea of an outright ban as a threat against stove manufacturers who don't support regulations. Here's what he said.
I think we need to be talking about regulating gas stoves, whether that's drastically improving emissions or banning gas stoves entirely. And I think we ought to keep that possibility of a ban in mind as you follow along, because it's a powerful tool in our toolbox and it's a real possibility here, particularly because there seems to be readily available alternatives already on the market.
Okay, so that's the threat. Right? That's the threat. It's not, we need to ban this because it turns out this is killing people and we need to do it like yesterday. It's support our regulations. We're going to heavily regulate your industry. We're going to tell you what you can do and what you can't. We're going to tell you all of the specs that you can and cannot manufacture by, which, by the way, the government already does left, right, and sideways. It drives up the cost of products sky high for consumers. If you tried to purchase a heating unit recently, those regulations just went into effect in January of this past year. So God help you if yours breaks down because the price to replace it is now much higher thanks to government regulations. They do this all the time. And the threat here to manufacturers is if you don't accept these regulations, if you push back against this, we're just going to ban your stuff outright and we're going to completely wreck your business. He gives the game away when he says this is a powerful tool in our tool belt. The fact that the government thinks that it is a tool in their tool belt at all to just outright ban things is abominable. It is wildly unconstitutional. That is not what our federal government is supposed to be involved in at all. And yet that's exactly what we have allowed to happen in this country. And now they are weaponizing that power to exert their influence and their control. They do it all the time. So this proposed ban is not being considered because it would actually help Americans. It wouldn't actually save lives. It would not protect public health. This is a weapon being used against the private sector to kowtow, to force them to kowtow to the government. But if you personally want to have more control over your own health, don't buy into the government line. You should instead check out Share Healthcare. So Share Healthcare, I am partnering with them to let people know about this Christian-based alternative to traditional health insurance. Share Healthcare is not health insurance. Share Healthcare is a cost-sharing program between people who do not want to pay exorbitant premiums for coverage that they don't need or to subsidize medical costs that don't align with their faith-based values. So the average national cost for health insurance plan is over $450 for just one person. But with healthcare programs that start as low as $149 a month, Share Healthcare provides Americans with medical, financial, and religious freedom by offering share cost plans that align with their Christian-based values. So if you think that a share cost plan might be right for you, visit sharehealthcare.com, enter the referral code MRCTV23. That's sharehealthcare.com. The referral code is MRCTV23, and find out if a share cost plan works for you and your family. While you're on your laptop, by the way, make sure you head on over to mrc.org/donate to find out how you can partner with the Media Research Center to support content like The Brittany Hughes Show. So the Media Research Center is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. That means that we provide all of this content free to you. We don't charge you anything for it, but we do run entirely off of donations from people just like you. There is no amount that is too little. Many of our donors, the vast majority of our donors, as a matter of fact, are just regular givers who like our content, who like our videos, who like this show, that just simply want to show their support and help keep us on the air and help keep us going. So if you have not already, please visit mrc.org/donate. Find more information there. If you already partner with us, if you already support the Media Research Center, thank you so, so much. I literally, and I do mean this literally, could not do what I do without you guys. So thank you so, so much for your support. By the way, word to the wise, in case you don't want to look like a total moron, in case that's not really on your dance card right now, if you're going to get arrested for throwing a hissy fit over something ridiculously stupid, don't stage it. And if you are dumb enough to stage it, at least try to have the basic common sense to not film yourself staging it. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. You would think, some things you can't believe that you actually have to say out loud, but apparently here we go. So Greta Thunberg, you remember, she's the little 20-year-old Swedish climate hysteric that, you know, got her claim to fame by sneering at world leaders back in the day at a conference where she told them,
"How dare you?
I should be in school," which she's not. If she had been, maybe she would have actually learned a thing or two. But she, you know, she instead was sitting at a conference at a forum telling world leaders that they sucked because they haven't done enough to save the planet or whatever, and she was going to show them how it's done. So Greta Thunberg, who has kind of, you haven't really heard a whole lot about her over the last couple of years. She just sort of, like, she was sensationalized for a minute, and then she just sort of, thank God, went away.
How dare you?
Well, now she's back in the headlines for staging her own arrest outside of a German coal mine this week. It wasn't just enough that she was detained. It wasn't just enough that the leftist media peddled that line ad nauseum and just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Greta Thunberg has been released from custody after being detained by German police for a second time this week. Thunberg had joined protesters to oppose the expansion of a coal mine operation in western Germany. Police say she and other demonstrators broke through a police barrier heading for a coal pit, which authorities say could have collapsed under the weight of the group. Thunberg was also detained on Sunday after addressing demonstrators and joining the protest.
And of course, there were like select photos showing her being hauled away by police. This whole entire thing was staged from the beginning. Wait until I show you how all of this got started. It is hilarious. So before we get to that, so here's kind of the backstory, right? And this makes the whole entire thing even more hilarious and utterly ridiculous. And I'm telling you this because the leftist media is not going to. They're going to leave out a whole lot of these details. So let's just try to fill in the gaps because they don't want you to actually know the truth. What they want you to know is that all of these climate activists that are so interested in saving the planet and saving your life, again, against your will, are trying desperately, desperately to do the right thing and are getting hauled off by the cops for their trouble. Here's what actually happened. So, well, electricity that's like generated by pixie dust and the flapping of butterfly wings or whatever, that sounds all happy and bright to green energy zealots. It turns out that when the proverbial crap hits the fan, people are a lot more interested in being able to heat their homes in the wintertime than they are about the left's imaginary climate apocalypse that's been predicted for eons now and has never actually happened. Again, New York is supposed to be underwater at this point and isn't. It's under a big pile of urine and rats, but it's not underwater. So one wind farm in Germany is getting leveled to make way for a coal mine expansion. This was announced towards the end of last year. And this is coming as Germany's energy crisis worsens, thanks to, of course, a massive curb on the imports of Russian oil over the war in Ukraine. So back in October, the German energy company RWE announced that they were dismantling a wind farm so that the, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, I am not German, very much not German, so if I butcher this, I'm very, very sorry. But they want the Garzweiler coal mine, which is next door to this wind farm, to expand their operations, because it turns out that wind turbines can't actually power a country. They're nice for sort of pointing to and saying, we're going green. But when you actually need to power, you know, I don't know, more than like four houses, you need something a little heftier than that. And that's what Germany found out when they started banning imports of Russian oil. So RWE says that it's necessary because coal is obviously more reliable than wind. And the country, believe it or not, needs energy because it's wintertime and it's cold as crap. So these coal units were originally scheduled for shutdown in September of 22 and 23, respectively. But the German government put the kibosh on Russian oil imports, of course, and it turns out that the turbines and the sunshine were not enough to keep the country going. So the German government, which is not too keen on letting their people freeze to death, that's not really a good look for them. The cabinet recently approved temporarily restarting three of these coal plant units to help power the country. So speaking specifically of the Garzweiler coal mine, so this thing butts up against the village of Lützerath, which is going to be demolished in order to expand the mine. And when you read these headlines, that's kind of where the leftist media leaves you, right? They're demolishing a village to expand a coal mine. Sounds absolutely horrific, right? We're going to level this town where people live in order to expand this dirty, disgusting coal mine. And they paint this nice apocalyptic picture of black and brown smoke rising into the air and all of these villagers getting run out of town. By the by, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. I know, shock, right? Shock that they would lie to you. So here's the media's framing of this story. Here's from NPR. Protests at Lützerath, a tiny village slated to be cleared and demolished to make way for the nearby Garzweiler coal mine, have grown massive and contentious over the past week. So again, that's the framing, right? To a little tiny village, this quaint little hamlet is going to be completely demolished to make way for this big nasty coal mine, and you've got this mental image of black plumes of smoke clouding the air while all of these villagers, you know, dressed in 1700s garb, are being run out of their houses by cops in riot gear. I don't know. It just paints this ridiculous picture when, of course, that's not at all what's happening here. Here's the actual truth that you're not going to read in many of these stories. So, Lützerath, teeny tiny little village, about 100 people lived there back in 2017. They were resettled by the government 6 years ago. They were paid by the government to move elsewhere. They weren't run out. They weren't made homeless. They're not sleeping under some overpass somewhere. There were only about 100 people, and they happened to be living in the place where all of the coal was that is needed to power the rest of the country. And so they were given money by the government to resettle somewhere else. So who is living in this village now? Who are the authorities clearing out now? Well, the village is now occupied by about 80 climate activists who are squatting in all of the abandoned buildings and farmhouses. So the police are not driving out villagers from their homes. They're clearing squatters. They're clearing people that have camped out on this site for several years now, some of them, to protest. That's what's happening here. These are not villagers whose families date back to this little hamlet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that are now being forcibly, you know, removed from their houses. That's not what's happening here. But of course, that's the picture that the leftist media wants to paint. That's the picture that climate activists like Greta Thunberg want to paint. But that's, again, that's not what's happening. WRE, by the way, this coal mining company, just as an aside, they also reached an agreement as part of all of this with the German government that if they could expand this mine and mine the coal that's going to keep the country powered through this whole Russia crisis, if they could expand this mine, they would close their mining operations, their coal mining operations, 8 years earlier than originally agreed to. So they're going to close their coal mines by 2030. And that's going to save at least five other villages that were slated for demolition to expand those coal mines. So in fact, there are multiple villages that are not going to be demolished now. They're going to close their mines earlier if all goes as expected, all so that they can expand this one coal mine so that, again, they can power the country that is having an energy crisis right now thanks to all of this green crap coupled with the Russian-Ukraine war, Again, but you're not hearing any of those details from the media that wants to paint a much more black and white picture of all of these poor people being oppressed by the dirty, nasty energy industry, which, of course, provided Greta here with a fantastic opportunity to pop back into the spotlight. And here's how she did it. So here she is getting hauled away by German police who supposedly detained her during a protest at this coal mine where she and a whole bunch of other people staged a sit-in where they basically squatted and refused to move. Now, of course, that was the headline that the media all ran with, right, was that this young woman was being detained by German police. Here was CNN, climate activist Greta Thunberg detained by police in Germany at coal mine protest, NPR. Greta Thunberg was detained by German police while protesting a coal mine expansion. Now, here's my favorite part. This one is where it gets really, really rich. So Reuters reports that climate campaigner Greta Thunberg was detained alongside other activists on Tuesday during protests against the demolition of a village to make way for a coal mine expansion, but was released after an identity check, according to police. An identity check? You really think they had to do an identity? You really think that they actually like asked her for her driver's license or something to figure out who she was? Like they didn't already know? They had to do an identity check on her? Really? Because here's another video of what happened just before Greta was detained by police. They knew exactly who she was because here she is helping to stage this arrest. She is literally standing there with police, posing with them. They put a hand on her arm to make it look like she's being held. They stand there for several minutes while she snickers and while the photographers snicker, and they all get their little photo op of her being detained by police. And then, of course, she is paraded on down the dirt road by these cops who then eventually pick her up and carry her. The whole thing is a gigantic photo op and not a very well orchestrated one, by the way. If you're going to stage your own arrest, at least don't videotape yourself doing it. This is a charade. This is like AOC supposedly getting arrested outside of the Supreme Court, where she and Ilhan Omar, you remember, where they walked with police with their arms crossed behind their back to make it look like they were in handcuffs. And no, they weren't. But of course, that was the line that the leftist media all ran with. This is staged. This is bullcrap. And you're supposed to not only buy it, but these are the people that the government is listening to, who then turn around and make up rules and regulations to ban the gas stove that's currently in your house. This kind of charade, this nonsense right here, that is as transparent as the day is long, comes from the same side that thinks that it is perfectly acceptable to tell you what appliances you can and cannot use, ostensibly to protect your health against yourself and your own choices. This is bullcrap. And it's not just bullcrap. It's insulting bullcrap. It's funny until you realize that this crap filters down into the policies that end up affecting our daily lives. And the whole thing is a scheme. It's a scheme for power. It's a scheme to expand government control. This whole entire thing is bogus. And I think people are starting to wise up to that at least a little bit. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. When people start telling you that you've got to get rid of the stove that's in your house and replace it with hundreds of dollars worth of new appliances that you can't necessarily afford because the price of eggs is up to like, I don't know, $8 for a dozen, I think people are going to start to get real upset about that real quick. So with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show for today, you guys. Make sure, again, you head over to sharehealthcare.com. That referral code is MRCTV23. Make sure you check out their cost-sharing plans. Find out if one might be right for you and your family. And then go over to mrc.org/donate. Figure out how you can partner with the Media Research Center to support our content here. If you have a moment as well, go over to Apple Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't miss an episode. While you're over there, you can subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with my buddy Tim Graham. That's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Until then, I will see you guys back here on Thursday. Happy cooking with your gas stove. That's exactly what I'm about to go do. God bless.